And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on a Thursday morning for our regular Community Conversations program. And isn't it just wonderful to have some sunny, warm weather? But isn't it even better than that to have a level of freedom to be able to, well, to be able to move more than 25 kilometres after 7 months with a small break in the middle? It seems like it's been forever. And I know a lot of us at the moment are out there stretching our wings and having a little fly around and looking at what we can do that we couldn't do just a couple of weeks ago. So if you're in that category, if you're as I have been, you've been locked up for a long, long time, isn't it a good feeling to actually be able to make some plans and think about what we might want to do in the next week, the next month, the next 12 months perhaps? And wow, it's just a really good feeling, isn't it, to be able to actually be in a position to do some planning, to be thinking ahead, to be thinking, what do I want to do in the next few months without the restrictions that I've had in the last few months? And we're talking planning this morning, and the old adage is that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And of course, in 2020, a lot of the plans that we've had have been thrown out because of the COVID restrictions that we've all been placed under. And circumstances certainly do change, don't they? And many of the plans, the things that we had hoped to do, whether that was travel or spend time doing particular things in 2020, has been put asunder. We have not been able to do those. We've not been able to travel. We've not been able to do many of the things that we had planned to do in 2020. So let's look ahead and think about planning from here on. And hopefully on the line, I have Megan Buntine. Can you hear us there now, Megan?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
That's fantastic. Yes, we certainly can. Awesome. So so that's terrific. And Megan, we have all sorts of plans that we make. We've certainly had plenty in 2020 that we weren't able to achieve, but people plan holidays, they plan things at work, they have projects, they plan to get healthy or whatever it is, don't they? We've all got all sorts of plans we have.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of the organisations that I'm talking to, whether it's because the weather's improving, we're all coming out of the restrictions are easing, we're getting around and out and about more. I think the organisations are very much taking a view of, okay, it's out with the old and let's look forward to the new. What's coming around the corner? Let's just draw a line under 2020 because it's been a bit bizarre and start thinking positively about what we can achieve. And look, even though it's been a weird year, we've still got, you know, a month and a half left of it. So that gives us a really good kickoff to start doing some good planning for, well, what can we do next year? And obviously thinking about what might the restrictions or the conditions that we're operating under in our so-called COVID normal, and what do they allow us to do? So I think it's very much a time for reflection and, you know, review on, you know, what things have we actually achieved despite all the challenges that have gone on in 2020, and celebrate some of that. Celebrate, even if it's just celebrating the fact that you're still here, that you've come through it and your organisation is still in existence.
Yes, that's very, very true. And we don't do celebration stuff so well, Megan. And I was thinking we should give listeners just a 20 seconds to think about what if you think back over 2020, and I was to ask you, what were the three things that you have achieved this year? What would they be? The three things that you have achieved in 2020. I was thinking for myself, the first one that came to mind was that I have survived COVID-19, Megan. And I've also got a whole list of things done at home, which is fantastic. And yeah, so we still have achieved things, haven't we, despite the restrictions?
Absolutely. I see so many people who've got the most amazing gardens that they've got better gardens than they've had in years because they've had the time to spend doing those sorts of things. Or for other people, it might be focusing on other hobbies, or, you know, reading that book that you've always wanted to read, or just, you know, having some time to think about what's important in life even. So whilst it may not have been what you were anticipating 10, 12 months ago that was going to happen over 2020, I'm sure that you've had some plans of some sort. I think pivot has been the buzzword for 2020.
Yes.
I think that's what organisations and individuals and businesses, and we see it all around us, you know, organisations or people making those changes and those decisions about, okay, well, if we can't do what we originally thought we would do, what will we do instead? Planning for the alternate reality, I guess.
and as you mentioned, rightly, that people have also learned new skills. Some people out there, you may have learned a language or something. You might have just learned how to use Zoom proficiently. You may have a better work-life balance. You may have been able to spend more time with your family. You may have got a new job in the midst of all that. You perhaps have had a special birthday or an event or a milestone of some kind, or perhaps you've won a competition of some kind. Anyway, there are things that have happened along the way, Megan, even with the restrictions, that we should just pause and celebrate a little more.
Yeah, for sure. I heard a great quote during the year, and I can't remember who it was from, but it was, never waste a good crisis. And I think that this year has shown us that, you know, in times of adversity, what can we do or what can we bring through the other side that is still, you know, a positive move forward.
Fantastic. I looked up the definition of a plan, Megan, and it's defined in the Oxford Dictionary as a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. A detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. And then I was sort of thinking, but there's different levels of planning, and I know that you work with a lot of not-for-profit groups and community groups and so on, Megan, and so we could talk about strategic planning on a sort of a high level, but all the way down to operational planning. And then, of course, there's what we call contingency planning, when things perhaps come along like COVID that we hadn't planned on.
Yeah, and even just on a personal level, I think personal planning is so powerful. It's a good time of year to be doing that, thinking ahead to what do I want to do myself in all sorts of areas of my life, not just work or community, in the coming year. And, you know, I think most people plan on some level, even if it's just a case of thinking through, well, what do I want to achieve, how do I want to get there, when do I want to do it by. But I think the big key that so many people don't do, and if they did do this, they would be so much more effective in achieving what they wanted to set out, is actually write it down. Because you come up with all sorts of great ideas and you know, things that you think you would like to do, but actually putting it on paper, the simple act of putting it on paper, really cements it in your brain and helps you think through, and you've got that there as a bit of a record to go back to as well. I don't know about other people, but I certainly know my memory's getting worse.
You're listening to Megan Buntine, and Megan works with a lot of community groups, a lot of not-for-profit organisations. She specialises in assisting with governance, strategic planning, supporting not-for-profits in fundraising and the like. Megan lives just up the valley a little bit in Buxton. I'll get it right this morning, Megan. And wonderful to have you on air with us this morning. We're going to play one of Megan's selections. And while we listen to the Beatles and Here Comes the Sun, I want you to just reflect on perhaps what might be a couple of those goals that you have as we round out 2020 and think about 2021. There you go.
Show who can give you feedback.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for your company this morning. Lots happening here, and we're talking about planning, and failing to plan is planning to fail. And Megan, let's start with the basics. Where do we start when we think about making a plan or planning ahead? What's the starting point?
Yeah, look, I think really reflecting on what's been before and what's been achieved, and sort of using that as a starting ground for what comes next. So doing a bit of a reflection and a review. What's happened in the last period? What have you achieved? And celebrating that achievement. And then thinking about, okay, what are the next steps? If you've got that overall vision or that purpose that's guiding you, everything that you do, excuse me, through your plans is taking you that next little baby step towards that. So thinking about what do those baby steps look like and really chunking it down into what makes sense for you or for your organisation or your business.
Fantastic. So we've got a plan. Do we start with the big picture first? Is that what we call the strategic planning part? Is that the
we're talking about that high level vision or that purpose or whatever it is that really drives you? It's what underpins everything that you do. So for your organisation, I think back to when I was part of our Landcare committee, and you know, really it was about protecting the environment, about providing. You know, opportunities for the native wildlife and the native plants to flourish. So everything that we did came back to that core purpose of what we were trying to do. So thinking through what are the practical things on the ground that we can actually do to achieve that overall purpose.
Terrific. And then after the strategic bit, then we sort of drill down and into the operational part, yeah?
Yeah, the operational, the action plan. So your high-level strategic, that's your values, your vision, your mission, what's driving you forward, your purpose, those sorts of things. And then your operational, your action plan, whatever you choose to call it, is really nutting out the what, the who's going to do what bits and when are they going to do those by.
Terrific. So let's personalise it with a couple of examples, Megan. Let's try and get in the mood because people have been listening to the Beatles a little while ago and they've come up with their plans, or maybe some of us have. So let's say my plan is, let's pick something. Let's say my plan is to get fit and healthy. I've been locked up for 7 months and perhaps I'm not as healthy as I might have been 7 months ago or something or other.
Corona curves.
So where do I start? So if that's my overall plan, I want to get fit and healthy. Is that my strategic bit?
Yeah, so if your overall vision is to be more fit, to be more healthy, that's all well and good, and it's very high. It's a very high level statement. But it really doesn't tell us precisely what you're going to do. So that's your vision. But you really think about, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to eat better? I'm going to do more exercise? I'm going to, you know, do a whole range of things that could result in healthier outcomes? Whatever makes sense for me, whatever my areas of need are. And then go the next step down to say, okay, well, if I need to lose weight, well, how much weight do I need to lose? So setting yourself a specific goal, something that's measurable, something that you know when you've got there, you can say, okay, well, I'm going to lose 5 kilos, so what's my current weight? There's your starting point. That tells you what your end goal is, and then measure along the way. So it's a really simple example, but it's the same process, I guess, that we use organisationally to measure where do we start, where are we aiming for, and reviewing along the way, how are we tracking against that? Are our ideas about how we're going to achieve that working? If they're not, maybe we need to look at doing something differently. I think it was Henry Ford who said, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results.
So I'm visualising here a bit of a matrix, Megan, where I've got my vision or my overarching goal at the top, and then I've got, which let's say in this case is to get fit and healthy, and then I've got three or four things down the left-hand side which say, you know, look at what I'm eating, my exercise, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm assuming, as to your point, we get really specific, but we also got to give some timelines for some of these things, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you might say, okay, well, I'm going to lose 5 kilos in the next 2 months. So how am I going to go about doing that? Well, I'm going to start counting my calories. I'm going to start exercising for half an hour every morning. And also, I think, you know, recording what you do and keeping yourself accountable is a really good tip as well. I know certainly when I've done things like that, it's always helped. If I've got it in my diary, okay, well, I did do my walk today, or I did stick to my X amount of calories. And it motivates you along the way as well, I think, if you can see that you're doing the right thing and that it's getting the results that you were hoping you would get, whether it's for weight loss or whether it's for creating a new project to support people who are currently experiencing homelessness, you know, from one extreme to the other.
And to your point, the importance of actually writing it down, Megan, is a key part of this.
Absolutely. You know, I can come up with all sorts of wonderful ideas at 2 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep, but if I don't get up and write them down in my diary, I find that they're gone by 7 o'clock the next morning. So, you know, tracking that, and also along the way, writing down and documenting how you're going, you know, having those records as to how you're achieving, because then that can give you some tips too. If things are not working out as you planned, you can go back and review, okay, well, maybe I didn't do as well as I thought I'd do, maybe I missed a few days of my morning walk, I need to get back on track there, or maybe I'm doing that and it's not actually working, so I need to look at some different strategies to get me to where I want to go.
Terrific. So a very appropriate song for our next one, Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop, Megan. But before we can Don't Stop, we have to get started, I guess. So perhaps listeners, just reflect on those couple of goals you thought about on our last song and think about, okay, so what does getting started look like? Here we go.
Open your eyes, look at the day.
And after the 11 o'clock news this morning, we have the amazing Luke Sinclair, who's the co-founder of Sticky Institute, together with Silver Nix of Sea Green Zines, all the way from, zooming in, all the way from Murray Bridge in South Australia, hosted by Cora, the amazing Cora, after the 11 o'clock news this morning. So stay tuned for that. Right now, you're a part of Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My very special guest is Megan Buntine. If you're looking for Megan's contact details, the best place is to go to her website, which is mjbconsulting.net.au. She's got all sorts of resources on that website, free, available to community groups and organisations to help with planning, with governance and strategy and fundraising and a whole lot of other things. So you go right there. Megan, as we talk about planning this morning, and we began by talking about celebrating some of the achievements in this very challenging year, what's the other part that's important? You know, it seems that we sometimes don't stop and think about what we have actually done, or dare I say, reward ourselves or other people for it.
Yeah, I think that's a really key element, isn't it? As part of, you know, recognising, let's go back and recognise what we've achieved and celebrate what we've achieved, but also recognising and rewarding, if, or in a way that is possible, the people who've helped us along the way. So for our organisations, whether it's our volunteers, whether it's our staff, you know, do we have an end of year Christmas party where we celebrate? Do we give people a little token thank you gift? What is it that we can do to show people how much we appreciate what they do? Through one example, one organisation that I'm a part of, they provide supports to people who have disabilities and people who receive aged care support, and their staff worked really, really hard. We're going to continue to work hard, but as you can well imagine, I'm sure, throughout the restrictions, that was a really challenging
tough time.
So what they did in recognition was they gave all the staff a little gift of some little electronic products, and the staff loved them. They were wrapped to get not only the token of appreciation, but the practicality of what it was that they were given. So that really hit the mark. And having the thank you card in there as well was really important. I think back to in my work life working for organisations, and one manager who really sticks in my mind, who whenever something was really difficult, we'd get a handwritten thank you card at the end of it, and that, you know, 20 years later still sticks with me. A lot of other things don't, but that certainly does. So just even those little things, it doesn't have to cost much, but it just shows that you appreciate what people are doing.
And what about for yourself, Megan? If your aim, if your goal, your plan was to get fit and healthy, as we said before, what does reward look like in a case like that, you know, for us as an individual?
Well, certainly I know for me it means go out and buy yourself a nice new pair of next size down pants. But that might not work for everybody. But it might be just as simple as, I'll just go and get myself a little massage at one of the massage places, or I'll just go and treat myself out to, if you're trying to lose weight, hopefully not food. But something that is nice for you to spoil yourself a bit, or it might just be that you go out for the day and have a day off. Whatever it is that's going to make you feel good about achieving what you've achieved.
Yeah, fantastic. And this year, as you said at the beginning, you know, I think it is important that we do celebrate. If we stop and think, there are things that we have achieved this year, even if it is only surviving COVID-19, learning how to use online Zoom and so on, or reading that book that you have always wanted to read, looking at your garden and thinking, wow, that's the best my garden's ever actually looked. We have achieved things this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one thing, and I'm sort of jumping around a bit here, but one thing I think is really important to think about too is motivation and accountability. So particularly if you're working on your own, how do you maintain that accountability? I think it can really be helpful to tell other people what you're trying to achieve. So if it's you're trying to achieve, again, I'll go back to the health or the weight loss, if you're telling people this is what I'm trying to achieve, or if you're going for a walk, having somebody go with you, it makes you more accountable. You're more likely to follow through and do it. I think with our organisations, when we're working as a team, sometimes that accountability can be a bit easier because we have others that we need to report into, that we've done our piece of the puzzle to support everybody working together to achieve the overall aims. But whatever it takes, whatever little tips and tricks you need to build into your system to make you more accountable and more likely to achieve what you want to. I think you're a great way to go.
Megan, I'm wondering, as we think about, you know, the big picture, achieving, you know, a goal in particular, do you think that it helps if you can visualize what it looks like? So if it's weight loss, you know, that you visualize yourself being 10 kilograms lighter or something, or if it's a garden, that you visualize what the garden's actually going to look like by the time you've put all that mulch on and done this and et cetera. I mean, do you have a visual of what your goal actually looks like in the end? Do you think that helps?
I think that's a really good tip. Some organizations that I've worked with, particularly when it's been for example, I've run some women's retreats where we sit down with the ladies and they're talking more about their personal goals. But creating what we call a vision board, so getting all the magazines out, cutting out pictures that represent the sort of things that you want to achieve in your life or in your organisation, and it doesn't just have to be for your own personal goals and plans. You could do a vision board as an organisation. But creating that visual is really powerful, and then putting that up somewhere where you or everyone who's engaged in it and has a stake in it is going to see it. It might be that you take a photo of it and you use it as a screensaver, or if it's an organisation-wide vision board, you send everybody a copy of it electronically and they can put it up by their desk or on their fridge or wherever it makes sense for them. But having that visual representation is really powerful, I do think, yes.
Terrific. Let's have another song. It's one of yours, Megan. It's All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow.
This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is LA.
All I
want
to do is have a little fun before I die. There's a man next to me. He says his name is William. I'm sure he's Bill or Billy or Mac or Buddy. And he's plain ugly to me. And I wonder if he's ever had a day of fun in his whole life. And we are drinking beer at noon on Tuesday. The bar that faces a giant car wash. The good people of the world are washing their cars on their lunch break. Hosing and scrubbing as best they can. Clean and dirty cars, the sun and the moon, but all I want.
And my special guest on Community Conversations this morning is Megan Buntine, and via Zoom, all the way from Buxton. And Megan and I are talking about planning, both as individuals and as organisations, community groups, not-for-profits and so on, the importance of planning both individually and as an organisation. And nothing is more important, Megan, and not just planning, but then celebrating achievements and acknowledging those, rewarding people who've played a part in achieving them and so on. Let's talk a little bit as we come out of this COVID lockdown, Megan. Contingency plans. What does a contingency plan look like? You know, what do we do when we have things that have been thrown at us that we haven't actually thought about at all? You know, that wasn't part of the plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think at the end of 2020, there'd be more people who are aware of the idea of contingency planning and crisis management planning and business continuity planning than there were 12 months ago, that's for sure. I think in some way or another, so many of us have had to do that, whether we, regardless of what we call it. Just really thinking ahead to what could be the eventualities, I guess, and some of them being the unlikely eventualities like pandemics, like floods or fires or, you know, whatever the crisis may be that we might have to deal with, and doing some scenario planning, you know, the what ifs, thinking about if X was to happen, how would we deal with that? It could be a case of if one of our key people was suddenly unable to contribute to the organisation, how would we manage around that so that when that, if and when that eventuality does come knocking on our door, we've done the thinking work about how to then deal with it, because I think we all know that when we're in that time of crisis, that heightens sense of, you know, the adrenaline's pumping, we don't necessarily think as clearly as perhaps we would if we had the time to sit down and think about how we'd manage it. You know, we could sit around with a number of stakeholders and get everyone's input into how would we manage it if we do that in advance.
And Megan, does that contingency, does that mean that we extend the timeline for the plan that we had, or that we change the plan in some way, that we instead of aiming for 10 kilogram weight loss, we settle for 7 kilograms or something? I mean, what does that look
well
like?
You may have to adjust your overall goal to be able to be more realistic within the time frame that you've given yourself and the new situation that presents itself. And it might be that regardless of whether there's a crisis or it's just under normal circumstances, you might have bitten off a bit more than you can chew and you might have to review your goal anyway. And at the end of the day, go back to the weight loss example, if you set the goal of losing 5 kilos in 2 months and you only lose 4, you've still lost 4 kilos. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we should celebrate that.
Indeed.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think the other thing about planning too is, you know, anyone who's gone through the exercise, as much as at the outset you might think, oh gosh, this is a big job, I think most organisations and individuals will find when they've put in the time and made the effort to do so, it's really energising, and it can be really team building if you're doing it with your organisation, because everyone's coming up with the ideas together, we're all on the same page and we're all committed to, yeah, we're going to move forward on this and we're going to achieve some great things for our organisation in the coming time.
Mm. So you've just mentioned coming together. Is being a part of a group, of a committee, of a strategic planning team, is the chance of us achieving something significant, of achieving our goal for our organisation, is that enhanced by having a group of people working on it together?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't do huge projects on your own, can you? Obviously, so you need a team around you to support you, and everybody's got a different piece of the puzzle to bring together. Everyone's got different strengths and skills, so we need to have all those stakeholders around the table, and people have got different ideas and contributions. I think even beyond the committee, you know, if you know you've got a strategic planning process coming up with your organisation, is there some way you can survey your membership to get some ideas in as well, even if it's just half a dozen simple questions or two simple questions, you know, what could we do differently, what could we do better, what could we learn from in the past that we could change? You know, simple things like that. So you're getting a broader input and you're going to come up with a much richer tapestry of ideas of things that you could focus on. Obviously, you can't focus on all of them. If you pick half a dozen key things that you want to pursue, particularly if you're running on the smell of an oily rag, as so many of our community organisations are, you know, you've got to be realistic about what you try and take on. Otherwise, people are going to burn out and they're going to lose that motivation and that energy that they had at the outset.
You're listening to Megan Buntine, and we're talking planning, we're talking thinking ahead, being intentional about what you want to do in the next 1 month, 2 months, 12 months. And, well, we're all champions this year because we've come through the 7 months of lockdown, the restrictions that we've all felt there. It's been tough. We have achieved, if we stop and think about it, we have achieved a lot during that time in different ways. So in honour of every single one of you listening today, you're a champion, and here we are with Queen. We are the champions.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shelf and kicked in my bed, but I've come through.
And I need to go on.
Fortune and everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
We are
the champions, my friend.
And time goes fast when you're having fun, doesn't it? You've been listening to Community Conversations here with me, Bruce Argyll, on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, and my very special guest this morning, Megan Buntine. And Megan and I have been just talking off air about the key ingredients in the end that make for successful planning. And Megan, I want you to just repeat what you were telling me off air, because that was such good stuff.
To put it simply, four key elements. First one is what. What do you want to achieve? Second one is how. How are you going to achieve it? What are the steps you're going to take to achieve your overall goal? I'm getting tongue-tied now. Third step is who. Who's going to do this? This is particularly relevant if you're working with a team. Who's going to do the different chunks, the different parts of the jigsaw puzzle to bring it all together? And then lastly, when. What's your time frame? When are you going to achieve each of those little chunks to enable you to achieve the overall what by the timeline that you've got against that? So it's that simple, really.
So simple that I've almost forgotten it already. Now, just being cheeky, Megan.
How, who, when?
if people would like to know more, or they would like that sort of framework, can you give us an email or a contact, Megan, that people could make
Absolutely.
Contact?
Absolutely. Yeah? Just shoot me an email either on info@ or Megan@, that's Megan@, mjbconsulting.net.au.
Terrific. And Megan will give you, well, planning 101 and some resources or something like that, or get you started or point you in the right direction,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to help.
Fantastic. So, Megan, that's for both an individual goal, an individual plan, or most of the work you do is with community groups, with not-for-profit organisations and so on, isn't it?
Yeah, mostly with not-for-profit organisations, whether they be little community groups that run on the smell of an oily rag or big not-for-profit charity-type organisations. But also I do a little bit of work with individuals as well. I've done a lot of that work over the years, particularly in my disability background, and also with small businesses.
Terrific. So it just falls to me to say a huge thank you, Megan, for, despite the technology challenge at the beginning, for joining us this morning, being our very special guest. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. It's great to talk to you both again.
And for our listeners, we hope that you will join us again, same time next week, for Community Conversations. Look forward to your company then.